Cancer Vet. I'm Tracy Hotchner, here with my co-host, Dr. Susan Ettinger, who is the Pet Cancer Vet, a board-certified oncologist who treats dogs and cats with cancer. Dr. Sue's motto is see something, do something, so that cancer can be found early when it's still a treatable disease. The Pet Cancer Vet is a production of Pet Media, Inc. and Dr. Sue Cancer Vet, PLLC, which are solely responsible for its content. To hear more episodes of this show and other Pet Talk radio shows I co-host with top veterinarians and pet experts, please go to RadioPetLady.com. The Radio Pet Lady Network is partnered with my other enterprise, the Dog Film Festival, which celebrates the remarkable bond between dogs and their people. I will be taking the festival across the United States, including Washington, D.C., East Hampton, New York, Rochester, New York, Los Angeles, San Francisco, and Phoenix. I hope to see you in New York City at the second annual Dog Film Festival on October 15th. You can find more information at dogfilmfestival.com. The Pet Cancer Vet is brought to you by Best Pet Rx, a unique compounding pharmacy for pets in New York City that can turn any medication for dogs and cats into a custom-flavored oral paste, chewable tablet, or a liquid that your pet will actually like. And Best Pet Rx will keep trying formulations at no extra charge and offers same-day delivery in New York City and overnight delivery anywhere else so that your pet can happily take the medicine she needs to get well and stay well.
Hey, Dr. Sue, you are so busy, but people write to you on Facebook, and you have loads of people that come to you for advice and help. And recently you had a Facebook question about a beautiful pit bull called Kekoa, who was 7 years old and has spinal cord cancer. And Megan, his owner, wanted to know about whether or not to use CyberKnife. You know, I hear spinal cord cancer. I'm like, what the heck? How many rare cancers are there for dogs? Are there many? Is that rare? Is that not so rare? It sounds horrible.
Spinal cord cancer in general is pretty uncommon. You know, we don't see a ton of it, and I'll be honest, in the practice that I was at for the last 7.5 years, we had two neurologists. So most of the brain cancer and spinal cord patients came in through the neurology service, even if they had cancer. Just because a lot of times the symptoms that the pet owners are seeing are related to neurologic. So maybe they're dragging a leg or not using a leg. And the lesions really depend on where in the cord it is. If it's up in the neck area, you can see symptoms with all four legs. If it's in the lower spinal cord, like in the area sort of like over where the chest meets the abdomen.
Right.
Usually they're like dragging a leg, you know, or just not using it as well. So a lot of the times those cases come in through the neurologist. So the neurologists are really good at working those cases up, doing the right diagnostics, and in some cases treating them with radiation.
So how do we know that it's spinal cord cancer? What does that mean, that it's in the spinal cord, like the bones, the vertebrae of the spinal cord?
It's usually, it could be either. So most of the time when we say spinal cord cancer, we're thinking about like a soft tissue mass that is growing in the spinal canal.
Ooh.
And usually compressing the cord the same way like a dachshund that has disc disease.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of being the surgeon being able to go in there and remove the disc material and remove what's pressing on the spinal cord, in this one it's a tumor, and they're often not surgical, and that's why we might use CyberKnife for those cases. You can. It's a great question, Tracy. You always ask awesome questions. But you could also have a bone tumor, like an osteosarcoma of one of the vertebral bones, of one of the bones that protects the spinal cord.
Right.
And if that's growing and compressing on the spinal cord, you can get the same effect where it's squishing the spinal cord, which is painful, and then, again, can cause different neurologic symptoms for these dogs.
So,
and cats as well.
And does it happen in cats as infrequently as it does in dogs, still pretty rare?
Yeah, it's still pretty rare, and I'll be honest, I don't remember the incidents offhand, and that's just because, again, they're not that common. You can see lymphoma in the spinal cord of dogs and cats,
Wow.
and then you can see other spinal cord tumors as well, that are usually from like sort of the cells that normally are part of the spinal cord. So you can have like meningiomas and things like that, and then you can also for sure have some sarcomas in there, and then the bone tumors, like you talked about, that
Wow.
are pressing on the cord.
So all of it's called spinal cord cancer because the spinal cord is affected by whether it's soft tissue or bone, the compression of the
Yeah,
nerves.
I think that, probably that this is a soft tissue one as opposed to a bone cancer pressing the spinal cord, but that's always the one thing that's sometimes hard to really interpret when I get these emails or Facebook questions,
Right.
is I don't have the medical record in front of me. So, so it, but again, my guess in this case that it's a soft tissue one, but obviously we don't know for sure.
Now, you say, sorry to interrupt the rest of your answer, but the neurologist, when you say they do a diagnostic workup, how do they determine that it's cancer? Well, I guess it's going to be something growing. Could it be benign, like
Well,
not malignant?
it could be a disc, right?
Right.
So usually an MRI is going
I
to be
see.
the absolute best test to do, better than a CT scan. So just that spinal cord tends to be better for soft tissues. So usually they're going to start with an MRI. And again, that's something that a general vet's not going to have.
Right.
They're not going to have that equipment. So you're going to end up at a specialty clinic to get an MRI. And just to, remind everybody, if you or I needed an MRI, it would be an awake procedure. But dogs
Correct.
and cats require anesthesia because they're not going to sit still. And MRIs take longer than CT scans in general. So, the average MRI could be 45 minutes under anesthesia once they're in
Wow.
the MRI itself.
They not only wouldn't lie still, but that banging noise that some of
Oh,
us,
right.
the
Yeah.
banging noise alone would make them jump out of their paws kind of thing.
Yeah,
So
exactly.
just to remind people, because I forget myself, CyberKnife is the worst named thing on earth because there's no
Exactly.
knife involved. It's radiation. It's targeted radiation, right?
You're so, yep, you've been listening to me all these years.
I hope I've learned
I
something.
always say that CyberKnife is a silly name, but what they were trying to say is that instead of a blade, like a knife that you're using for surgery, that you're using the radiation beam for your surgery. So that was, I guess, the idea.
They should have called it virtual knife. I'm going to go to
Yeah.
these people and say, listen, I'm not going to ask for any patent or money. Just could you rename it? Because it
Well, it's
really
like
bothers me.
gamma knife, which is another type of radiation, is
Right.
slightly different type that also, people get confused as well. And I still had, so I was at, the hospital where we were the first CyberKnife facility for dogs and cats in the whole world. And
Wow.
I always went through it with everybody. When I left, 9 months ago, we had probably treated 700 or 800 dogs and cats over the time that I was there. And I always told people it's a really silly name because there's no surgery involved. CyberKnife is instead of surgery, it's
Right.
radiation in place of surgery. But I still had people that said, my dog had surgery, but it's okay, but
It
it's just,
was radiation. Just before we take a break, is that, again, since there's so many different forms and ways that the spinal cord can be affected by cancer, but is that a very go-to modality for trying to remove or reduce that pressure?
Yeah, so it depends on the case whether or not they can actually figure out what it is. Sometimes they'll do a CSF tap to get some of the, like lymphoma, you
Oh.
usually see the cancer cells in the fluid. In some cases, they will go in, try to remove it, realize it's not surgical and get a biopsy. But sometimes we don't. It's not safe to get a biopsy. It's very similar with brain cancer in dogs and cats, which makes it a little bit hard to kind of look back and know what it is because we're often doing it based on the appearance and we know where they grow and what they look like and things like that. But we don't always know which of the spinal cord cancers it can be if it's just not safe to get a sample because it's so deep in the cord kind of thing.
But CyberKnife would be what you would use if somebody had the money and they were close enough to a CyberKnife
Yeah,
facility.
and we can talk about why that would be great after the break.
Terrific. Here comes the break. We're going to be right back and a little more chat about CyberKnife and ooh, spinal cord cancer sounds horrible. None of it sounds great. We'll be right back after this break.
The Radio Pet Lady Network is supported by Halo Holistic Natural Dog and Cat Foods, which are made from real ingredients you can recognize. Halo uses real meat in their kibble, no rendered byproducts, chicken meal, or chemicals, and their new grain-free recipes give you even more healthy choices for your pet's dinner. Halo is a private company partly owned by Ellen DeGeneres, where they emphasize giving back by making donations to shelters through freekibble.com, because Halo believes less fortunate felines and canines deserve great nutrition, too. This show is also brought to you by Canine Active, a safe, non-toxic pain reliever made in America of naturally occurring amino acids and homeopathic compounds, known to provide pain relief and improve quality of life for dogs who are in pain. The innovative formula in Canine Active gives pain relief for the canine members of the family without the side effects and risks of non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs. Canine Active, proven safe and a proven pain reliever.
So, Dr. Sue, you've seen spinal cord cancer very little, but CyberKnife you used a lot. So would that be, is a gold standard, but it's not very accessible to people. There aren't very many facilities. Yours was the first, and now there's a handful of others, but it's still kind of rare, right?
It is, but it's becoming more common. Recently, on our email listserv, people were, and I think there was probably 8 or 9 or 10 places, and more places are starting to put it in now that it's sort of becoming a more accepted treatment form. But the advantages of CyberKnife over what we call conventional radiation is traditional or conventional radiation requires multiple treatments because you're treating sort of the whole area and you're getting the normal cells surrounding the tumor, including normal cord, so you may have more side effects. So the way that we try to minimize that is you break up the dose. So traditional radiation is 15 to 20 daily treatments with the weekends off.
Wow.
Right. Daily anesthesia. They're really short. They're short treatments, but it takes 3 to 4 weeks to get done. And you get a lot more side effects because there's the normal cells that are in the region just around the tumor are getting radiated. And so you break up the dose to minimize the damage. CyberKnife is this new advanced robotic image-guided radiation. So what that means is using the MRI or a CT scan, depending on, for our nose tumors, we just do a CT scan. But using that image, it gets imported into the computer, and the radiation oncologist works with the computer to treat very precisely from over 1 to 200 beams that all sort of conform, and I always say sculpt the tumor. So we give a super high dose within sub-millimeter accuracy, which kind of blows my brain.
Because
I'm like, millimeters would be great, but sub-millimeter. So the take-home message, instead of 15 to 20 treatments, we can typically do it in 1 to 3 treatments. Pretty cool.
Very cool.
Usually on consecutive days. There is a few tumors, like prostate tumors, that we sometimes treat with 5 treatments, but still a heck of a lot less than the 15 to 20 treatments. So the take-home message I always tell owners is less treatments, less trips to the hospital, less anesthesia for your pet, which is always a good thing. And less side effects because we're not including that area around the tumor. So the normal spinal cord doesn't like radiation. The normal brain doesn't like radiation. For nose tumors, which is the second most, brain tumors are the most common that we treat with CyberKnife. And nose tumors are by and far the number 2 tumor that we treat. And the mouth and the normal nose gets a lot of burning and irritation with conventional radiation. And we saw very little. So it's not for every tumor. There's still people that come to see me. So one tumor, Tracy, you and I talk about all the time are mast cell tumors.
Yes.
And those skin and just under the skin soft tissue sarcomas. Those we typically still recommend doing surgery. And if you leave microscopic cells, you need to go back and do conventional radiation. So it's not great for a lot of our superficial tumors. So I think about it for deep tumors, brain, nose, bone, prostate, spinal cord. In people where primary lung cancer is more common, the CyberKnife is one of the common tumors. They commonly treat primary lung cancer.
And yet, in the human medical field, there isn't a lot of CyberKnife offered either. I mean, that's sort of ironic.
There's more and more. You'd be surprised. If you go to CyberKnife, if you go to their website, and CyberKnife is just a brand name.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, so there are other similar stereotactic radiosurgery, which again is this precise form of radiation. So the one Colorado State was also doing stereotactic radiation around the time that we started. Like within months, we were both doing this type of, you know, very exact radiation, but they have a different machine that's called a Trilogy. So CyberKnife is just the brand name of one unit that's, you know, a very good machine, but the Trilogy machine is also very precise and can be used for stereotactic radiation as well. So, but back to my point, if you go to the CyberKnife and you put in your zip code, you know, where I worked, Animal Specialty Center used in New York used to come up. And one time I had a man that had prostate cancer call, and I was like, he's like, but I don't want to go into the city or to Long Island. I was like, you can't come here.
Well, certainly in Vermont, there weren't any. And my husband was interested in CyberKnife. And,
yeah.
You know, it's still a pretty, what does a machine cost? Do you know? Is it as expensive as an MRI machine?
Oh, way, way more.
Wow. Really?
And I don't know if we owned or leased out hours at the hospital. Sort of being a medical doctor, I didn't
That's right.
The financial part of it, which was good. But I would say a lot more expensive. And the other thing that's really special about radiation facilities is they are releasing radiation when the machine is on. So they the rooms that we call them are called vaults.
Wow.
And they have super crazy thick walls, the door that goes in, I can send you a picture, looks like you're going into like a crazy bank, you know, like the
wall. Like a bank heist movie, one of those.
Yeah.
Oh, let's send the picture.
If something happened, we'd all be in the radiation vault.
That's the safest place on the planet. Send a picture. We'll put it out with the podcast. We're going to take another quick break, and we come back just give people some other take-home thoughts about CyberKnife and hope that you don't have a kind of cancer that you have to consider it. We'll be right back.
This show is brought to you with the generous support of Nordic Naturals, omega-3 fish oil products that provide dogs and cats with the same premium quality omega-3 fish oils as for people. Research shows that even the best diets are deficient in the essential fatty acids found in omega-3 oils. Nordic Naturals uses responsibly sourced, healthy wild fish and uses third-party testing to guarantee purity and freshness in their oils. This show is also supported by WikiWags, male doggy diapers with a belly band that wraps around your boy dog's belly with a disposable absorbent pad. For male dogs of any size who have been peeing indoors, urine marking, excitability, incontinence, and house training issues, these are the problems WikiWags solves. WikiWags.com. That's www.wikiwags.com, where you'll find the relief you've been looking for.
So, Dr. Sue, any final thoughts on the use of this targeted radiation therapy that people should think about or know about?
Yeah, in addition to the things that we talked about, like less anesthesia, one of the big requirements is the tumors can't have been removed. So if, for example, you had a nose tumor that for some reason had surgery before and we did a CT and there wasn't visible solid mass there, you can't treat it. So it's not good for what we call microscopic disease. So you need to have a measurable tumor that you can see on the CT or the MRI. And usually it's when surgery is not an option. So again, brain cancer, nose cancers, I would say CyberKnife or bust, or stereotactic radiation or bust, but I was at a place with CyberKnife. Bone cancer that the owners would not amputate, or maybe somewhere else on the body, the other bones of the skeleton that were non-surgical, so like skull bones. So anywhere where the tumor is still present and can be seen on the imaging and cannot be removed. But again, brain, nose, bone, prostate, upper mouth tumors also, because the way they're connected to the nasal bones, those are the ones that I really think about for stereotactic radiation, like
just
CyberKnife.
One parting question. You said for those owners who don't want to or for other reasons can't amputate a limb, like long limb bone cancer, would you use stereotactic? Because my understanding, because my darling Rottweiler Yogi Bear had this mass on his front leg and he had no hip sockets in the back, so he couldn't have an amputation. But my understanding was that that tumor, if it's in a long bone, like your front leg, that it so weakens the leg that at any moment it could break. And that's one of the reasons that we had to euthanize him, because at any moment he could have the excruciating pain and the emergency of his leg breaking from just a simple wrong step let's call it. But so could you do CyberKnife on that?
You absolutely, yeah. So bone cancer was the number three cancer that we treated, as long as the owners declined. Amputation is always a better option because it removes the tumor, removes the leg. But yeah, there were some cases where the owner refused. Or the dog had other medical conditions.
Right.
We had one dog that had neck surgery, and the neurologist really thought that doing an amputation in a St. Bernard was not a good option. So we did CyberKnife. But we do, even if the bone looks pretty strong on an x-ray, we do the CT scan, get that three-dimensional picture. And to the best of our crystal balling picture, if we still thought that there was enough structure and architecture,
I see,
we could do CyberKnife. If it looked like it was close to fracture, we would not recommend CyberKnife, because you could still successfully kill those bone cancer cells, but there's not enough structure there and they'll still fracture. So what we learned, and we were a little less selective in the beginning, if the owner said, I understood the risk, is that the ones that had not, didn't have enough structure, they ended up fracturing. So we got really selective, and I have to tell you, I upset a good number of people over the years because they really wanted CyberKnife.
Right.
Most CyberKnife with a CT scan, I'm going to throw out a number. And again, depending on where you are in the country, you can see some variation, but we're talking $10,000. And so I always told people, if I'm denying you a very expensive procedure, it's because I care more about your dog than I care about the money,
and
the hospital bringing in the money. And, I had people drive from the DC area and we would do the CT and I'd have to break that horrible news that it wasn't in candidate. But I said, we're doing what we think is the best thing for the dog. I hope you will understand that, because again, the ones that we did early on, they ended up fracturing, and that's heartbreaking as well.
It's a bad end. So when you do all that diagnostic and you realize that the bone is really compromised from this tumor and that it's imminent that it could break, do you recommend that or suggest or do people understand that euthanasia before that happens is a way of avoiding a tragedy?
Yeah, but sometimes it may be that they can do palliative radiation,
I see.
Because we never know how quickly they're going to fracture. We just know that we don't want to go with sort of the big guns of CyberKnife. So maybe
can
do palliative radiation, some of the bone strengtheners, the bone pain, the injectable zoledronate.
Oh, wow.
Maybe we can do some chemo. And, some of those dogs can still get, 4 or 5 months of quality.
Wow.
Life, but we just,
I have a feeling all these very sophisticated things may not have existed, like injections into the bone of other things. Well, they didn't mention it, but it's amazing.
Yeah, that's actually not an injection into the bone. It's an IV injection that can help with bone pain.
Wow.
Yeah. So it's used in people when someone has metastatic cancer to bone, that can be very painful. And there's some cool studies in dogs with bone cancer where it can help with bone pain, maybe strengthen the bone a little, and maybe we're still figuring out have some anti-cancer effects as well.
Wow.
So, yeah, there's definitely...
There's always something new on the horizon, so don't give up, folks. Dr. Sue has many tricks up her sleeve to buy a little quality time for you and your dogs. Thank you so much, Dr. Sue, and thank you all for listening. We will be back again soon.